We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
It is a Labor Day weekend. If you know the historical roots of the holiday, it was created to honor the spirit and accomplishments of the American worker. And I think there's something worth celebrating there, particularly as, in its historical context, that peculiar spirit of work in America and the accomplishments to which it gave birth arose from what was called the Protestant work ethic. That is, the determination of the saints of God to honor Him above with our labors here below. And it made a difference here below, those labors. So it is worth celebrating. And I was telling the truth when I said to the kids, there was just a period, it was less than a year, a few months at least, though, in my young teen years, when I was kind of looking ahead down the long halls of time and thinking of having to work for 50 years. And I wasn't sure, but that I would rather you just sent me to prison there for just a short time. Work. Oh, all those years I got to understanding that Dad was going off and giving up at least 8 hours a day to the manufacture of airplane engine parts at Allison Aircraft Engines. And how my grandfather, for all the years of my youth, was tied to that dairy farm, day in, day out, weekdays, weekends, holidays, it didn't matter. Those cows had to be milked. And if they were going to produce milk, they had to be fed. And if they were going to be fed, corn had to be planted. And on and on and on it went. And I just was really, for a brief time, uncertain about this whole work proposition. I had a little sympathy for the fictional character Maynard G. Krebs. How many of you remember good old Maynard on the Dobie Gillis show, played by Bob Denver, Gilligan's Island fame? And there was one word that Maynard could not say. He would try, but he couldn't say it. He would say, you couldn't even say it, much less do it. For me, the answer came with some realizations. I enjoyed putting up hay, and it never occurred to me that that was work, really. I enjoyed cutting firewood, and we cut in those days 100 truckloads a year for our home and for the homes of my two grandparents, who were heated by two sets of grandparents, all heated by wood. And somehow I never thought of all that sawing and dragging and splitting and stacking really as work. I knew what it was accomplishing for people that I cared about, and that was enough. One of the things that I wanted to get rid of work was to participate in track and cross country, until it occurred to me that that was a lot of work, track and cross country. It was work! But it was work directed to a specific kind of goal, and somehow that did not seem odious to me. I liked marching band. I liked learning to play a musical instrument, and I finally figured it out. Practice work. Work, practice. It's really kind of the same thing, but you're directing it toward an end that you want to accomplish and the satisfaction that comes from learning to produce music and that sort of thing. And then finally figuring out that the labors of our hands can not only produce satisfaction for ourselves, not only produce benefits for our loved ones, not only create unity among one's fellows, it can do all these things, but also the labors of our hands can bring glory to God above by the work that we do here below. And it makes a difference. And these things change my entire attitude about work. And it has been a lasting change. So there are some things to celebrate there. I'll throw in one more thought here. There's a word in the Bible that we seldom really understand. It's godly. And sometimes we have a little confusion between the term godly and the word godlike. And trying to be godlike always leads to trouble. But trying to be godly always leads to blessing. And our confusion comes from this. They kind of contracted the word. It might be better translated goodly, because the word God doesn't even actually appear in the word. In the Greek of the New Testament, it is eusebia, the injection of good. Where you have labored, things are better when you are finished than before you began. This is godliness, that where we labor, things are better. We have injected good, better when we have finished than before we began. This was always the plan. Sometimes we think Adam and Eve had an extended opportunity to lounge in the garden until that sin thing messed everything up and work came into the world. But while things were yet good, it says that God set man to tend the garden. And that also was good. And I believe the correct interpretation is this, that Adam's descendants were intended to use the garden as a model and go forth into the wider, still wild, less cultivated earth. Subdue it. Shape it. Make it better when they were done than when they began. This purpose is in the nature of our creation. Now, all that said, I turn to this very familiar story, the blind man for whom Jesus spit on the ground and mixed up some spit mud and plastered that on his eyes and told him to go and wash it off in the pool of Siloam. And then he came back, and when he came back, having obeyed Jesus, he could see. And we know that this story begins with a question from the apostles. This man was born blind. We know enough about this guy to understand this. He was born blind. He has never seen anything in his life. So tell me. And it was a serious question. This was not like the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus. This was his disciples trying to understand reality around them. Tell me, was it because of some sin that he committed himself, or was it because of some sin that his parents committed, that this man was born blind? And we understand the framework from which the question comes. It has been drilled into us. If you do wrong, you will be punished, right? And we all know that. Do wrong, get punished. There's my parents' credo. It's why we have jails and prisons and reform schools. Do wrong, get punished. And we do know that it is partly involved in what God does. I have preached lately on several passages that impinged on the Babylonian captivity of Israel, and God was very clear with them. You're doing wrong. Clean up your act, or I'm going to ship you off to Babylon as captives and slaves, and it will be very bad. And they did not clean up their act, and he did ship them off to Babylon as captives and slaves, and it was very bad. They did wrong. They got punished. And this is sometimes our experience. And the background out of which the question arises. Because in the Jewish thought of the first century, all suffering is the result of sin. And I agree with that, as far as that goes. But then you get to this thought, well, then if this person is suffering, they are being punished for something they did. That's the way it works. And this guy over here, he was born blind. But it seems like a conundrum. What did he do before he was born to merit blindness? I mean, was he in there in the womb maliciously punching his mother's spleen? Or maybe his parents did something wrong, and their punishment was that their child was born blind. Now you see, I don't think it generally works that way. Sometimes it works like this. We bring it on ourselves. You engage in overconsumption of alcohol, it hurts you. You enter into other things that God has explicitly pronounced as immoral and to be stayed away from, and ultimately it always hurts you. And it hurts those around you. And so we bring it on ourselves. Now sometimes I'm sure that God still punishes people groups as he did the Babylonian captivity, and sometimes perhaps God punishes individuals, but I think that's the exception rather than the rule. Either we bring it on ourselves, or this second principle, as the praise band sang it this morning, this world is not what it was meant to be. It has been broken. We broke it with our sin. And because it is broken, we all must live with the consequences of its brokenness. The world which once was entirely good is no longer so, because sin has created within it a field of misery. And so drought produces hunger, and flood displaces individuals, families, and populations, and accidents can leave people crippled, and diseases that descend through no particular fault of your own can, cause you to lose your eyesight. Even before you are born. And we, all of us, suffer in the midst of the field of misery created by our sins. So why was this man born blind? Some sin of his, or perhaps some sin of his parents? They asked, and Jesus said, neither a sin of his own nor the sins of his parents. And this troubling answer, this happened to this man that the works of God might be displayed in him. What? This offends a lot of people. You mean God would blind a poor innocent baby just to make a point? Well, here's what I'm going to say. since Jesus said so, I'm going with yes. And then here's what else I will say. How many of us have had at least that spiritual moment when we lift our lives up to our Creator and say, it is yours to do with as you will? Do we really mean that? And if it's His to do with as He wills, and He wills for the greater good that we should lose the sight of our eyes so that others will be brought to salvation and glory will be enlarged in the kingdom, if my life is truly His to do with as He wills, then is He not free to do such a thing? I believe that He is. And thus, rather than being offended at the possibility that God would allow blindness to descend on a little baby to make a point, perhaps we should strive to get the point God was trying to make. At least one facet of that point is this, because Jesus, after saying that the man was blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him and doing the things that led to the healing, said to the disciples, and we're back to them and not the blind man now, we must do the works of God, just in case you thought I forgot where I was headed. We must do the works of God while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Do God's work now while the sunlight is around you, because night is coming. Well, there's two sides to this. The first is the work. And again, that is perhaps multifaceted, but let me key in on this as it arises in the context of doing something about the blindness that descended on this man before he was even born. Perhaps we should understand this. Here in the midst of the field of miseries produced by our sins, one of the works of God is for us to provide some relief for those who suffer when we can. If they're hungry, you know this, what should you do? Feed them. If they lack clothing, what should you do? If they're weak, should we not strengthen them? If they perish, should we not snatch them like burning brands from the fire? Should we not reach all around us into the field of miseries produced by sin and provide some comfort, some relief, some encouragement, some strength, some help? This would be to do the works of God. And when we do them, there are at least two things that Jesus promises. One, He will receive those kindnesses as though they were rendered to Him personally. Matthew 25 says, when you feed the hungry, it's like you found me hungry and fed me. When you comfort the sick, it's like you found me sick and comforted me. And so I may reach out my hand and bless my Lord and Savior. Second, when we do the works of God in the midst of the field of miseries, some will be led to His grace in Jesus Christ if we do those works in His name. And we should be getting about it. We should be getting about it now because night is coming. Last week, one of the chores that I had set for myself was just to pick through the pepper patch again. And it was the best picking was the week before, 230 pounds of bell peppers, one picking. This time it was 150 pounds, which was still plenty of bell peppers. But here's the thing. Life intervenes, and I didn't get at that job as quickly as I intended. It was getting late into the evening, and because it was still a good picking, I was not done when the sun started to dip below the horizon. And the last couple of rows of peppers I picked by feel. Run your hand around under the leaves, and if you encounter a dangling fruit, feel it. Is it big enough to pick? Yeah, I think that one's all right. Pull it off. If it's a little runty thing, leave it. How many can there be on this plant? I don't know. My fingers keep finding them. Have you ever finished mowing the lawn in the dark? How many of you have been on the tractor by headlights? See, it's not ideal. The dark is not suited for the tasks the way that the light is. And the night that Jesus is talking about is less suited because He says the night is coming when no man can work. And probably the big thing to grasp there is death. We have a little handful of decades in which to do something about the field of miseries. And then we die. And having died, at least for the duration of this present creation, the opportunity to work is finished. And any kindness that we had not yet extended will not be extended by us. And any relief that we had not yet offered will not be offered by us. And any improvement that we had not yet made will not be made by us. For night has fallen when no man can work. And perhaps there are other factors which might be regarded at least as dusk for our opportunities. Bill, you may well live to and through tomorrow, but maybe the person you could have helped won't. And time for that mission of mercy will still be over. Our jobs change, our circumstances change. And the person we were companions with at the job yesterday, we are no longer companions with, and the opportunity is at least made more difficult. You may be required to move to a new city, states away, another country, across an ocean. The opportunity changes. And sometimes the changes in circumstances are big. We know that this is true, but we seldom think of it. Sometimes a current national arrangement may end. If you wonder what I'm talking about, you haven't been watching the news, because how many of you would bet that it was easier to do the works of God in Afghanistan a month ago than it is today? And how quickly did it change? It caught everybody off guard. Apparently nobody thought it could happen just like that, but it did happen just like that. And opportunities that existed one day no longer existed the next. And our ability to do the works of God are at least rendered more difficult. We must do His works while it is yet day. For the night comes when no man can work. But it was hot or cold or wet or dry or snowing. I was busy. I was tired. I was distracted. I was frustrated. I have a load of emotional baggage of my own to deal with. I was. Okay. I hear you. But night is coming. And we must do the works of God while it is yet night.